Before we begin today's podcast, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Covaris. Covaris is reinventing what you expect from a medical professional liability provider. By leveraging claims data and analytics, Covaris is helping doctors and administrators reduce distractions and focus on improving outcomes. Learn more at covaris.com/focus.
This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Eric Stucco. Eric is the Chief Financial Officer of the USC, University of Southern California College of Medicine, USC Health System, Keck School of Medicine. We're going to talk to Eric today about what he's seeing, some of the priorities, how things are changing, and more. Eric, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Scott. Nice to be with you today. As you said, my name is Eric Stucco. I'm the CFO of USC Health System, which is an emerging organization. I think most people would know it as Keck Medicine. Prior to that, I served as the Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer at Penn State Health and Penn State Health's Milton Hershey Medical Center and the academic and community medical groups. And prior to that, I was with the University of Virginia Health System in two capacities. I was the budget director of the hospital, and later I was the chief financial officer of the physician group practice.
So you worked at a number of great places. Talk to us a little bit about the USC Health System, and right, it's also known as sort of Keck Medicine. Great system, great reputation. Talk to us for a moment about a few points of pride in USC.
Well, I think you touched upon it. For me, you know, for coming across country to start the next chapter of my career here in Los Angeles, what brought me out west was the national recognition of Keck Medicine, I'll call it, as being one of the best academic health systems and best health systems in the nation. For 2 years in a row, this system ranked in U.S. News and World Report's top 20. So that certainly is a point of pride for me that an organization of this caliber would bring me on board. Number two, I think it's because it's an academic health system, we all are committed to the three-part mission, and that is clinical care, research, and education. And USC's Keck School of Medicine has over $185 million a year in annual NIH research grant spending, and that's ranked 33rd nationally. It is a significant point of pride for me that this institution is not only providing excellent patient care, but doing the discovery work to make that care better, and at the same time educating the next generation of physicians and healthcare providers. And finally, what brought me here to Los Angeles and this organization was a really engaged board of directors and university administration. There is a clear commitment to continue to grow Keck Medicine into USC Health System to achieve higher levels of clinical excellence, but to also take advantage of that, the success of the clinical enterprise, and resource the research enterprise at the medical school. It's a clear objective set by the president of the university to double the research sponsorship here at the Keck School of Medicine. And in order for us to do that, we really have to grow the clinical enterprise. So those three things are really strong points of pride for me. And again, the reason why I traveled 2,700 miles across country to begin the next phase of my career here.
So just magnificent, in a magnificent institution with a magnificent reputation. Eric, talk for a second about the role of CFO today. You've been a CFO in one place or another for some time, for a long time now. Talk about how that role has evolved over the last 10 to 20 years as healthcare systems, and they have evolved. Talk a little about the evolution in the role of CFO and sort of what you view as top priorities as CFO today.
Certainly. You know, 20 years ago, chief financial officers of health systems were really focused, you know, on the fundamentals of finance. So the revenue cycle function, the accounting, financial reporting, debt, cash management, But I think today the role really has entered into the realm of strategy. At all three institutions that I've worked at, finance had a clear presence in any committee or group of executives that were devising or changing the strategy of the health system. Now, my 20 plus year career in medicine has been in academic medicine, and that is a distinction I clearly want to make. The real complexities of a CFO in an academic health system are not just, you know, doing the finances for the clinical enterprise and not just building a strategy to grow the clinical enterprise, but to do it in a way that also supports biomedical and health science research and education. So as a CFO of a health system now, I have to be as aware as to what's happening on the clinical side as with the research and teaching side as well. The clinical operations not only generate resources to, you know, upgrade the capital, make sure that the equipment and the care we render is contemporary and state-of-the-art, but we also have to generate resources that advance the research work. We have to support our grant-funded scientists and our early career scientists who will eventually, you know, earn the ability or get the ability to earn grants. And we also have to provide a venue to teach the medical students, nursing students, pharmacy students, allied health professional students that are part of our affiliated university. So, you know, I engage in this work every day because of the challenges of balancing the three missions in terms of resources, but also, like I said earlier, devising the strategies to grow the clinical enterprise, gain and maintain market share, ensure long-term viability, so we can also resource the School of Medicine.
And you mentioned the difference of being an academic medical center and a research institution than purely a great health system, and both are magnificent. But talk for a moment about the excitement about being at a place that's creating world-changing research as well and supporting that mission as well.
It is exciting because it adds extra value to the work that we do. We know that, you know, we're working hard to make sure that, you know, the citizens in our city here receive the highest quality care. But we're also working hard on more legacy things like ensuring that our faculty physicians have the time and resources to do the clinical research necessary to ensure future citizens of our city are receiving even better care. And that adds meaning to the labor, if you will. And then finally, what I enjoy most is moving outside of administrative buildings and going over to the education facilities to see the students. Early career students that are learning the basic sciences, but also those that are in maybe years two or three that are in the clinical setting. When we walk on one of our hospital wards, you know, we see a lot of white lab coats, and you see the attending physician, you see the residents, but you'll also see medical students in their clinical rotation, all in the presence of a patient. And when I see that, I think, you know, my hard work and efforts are going to make sure that those students become some of the best physicians in the nation. And again, that's the rewarding side of what we do.
And talk for a moment about that, because these medical students, and there's not enough of them, or nurses, medical students, everything, all these clinicians, there's not enough of them, and they still work incredibly hard in school to become the doctors they become, don't they?
Yes. You think about it, admissions into medical school is probably one of the toughest roads to travel in academia. Typically, medical schools admit, 5% less of the total applicants. And so these students are the best of the best already. They've graduated at the tops of their class in their undergraduate years. They've studied hard to generate strong test scores to gain admission. And then once they're here, that preparation, that success serves them well, because there is great challenge in learning the science and the mechanics of medicine. And today's curriculum has really shifted since years ago. Students are as demanding of their medical school as medical schools are as demanding of them. Our students want experiential learning almost immediately. They want to learn the basic sciences in the context of rendering care. And that has challenged us as faculty to the students to make sure that they have what they want, but also to put them through the rigor needed to put human lives in their hands, basically. And so, yes, our students are fully committed, and our job is to make sure that they have access to the experiences they need, that they can live in some comfort, that they have the facilities available to do their studying and do their practical work. And, we want them to have a great deal of pride when they graduate and move on to their residency, that the foundation for their professional work was poured here at University of Southern California Keck School of Medicine.
And it's really amazing what USC has done over the last 10, 20, 30 years to become sort of this leading institution that it is. You're having, Eric, yourself, a great professional career. You're CFO now at a top 20 institution in the world. Talk a little bit about what advice you would give to other emerging leaders or people wanting to have great careers. What two or three things would you tell somebody trying to grow into a great career?
Yeah, it's hard to give advice. Everybody takes their own path, if you will. I can reflect on my path and talk about the lessons I learned. So after 20 years and now three academic health systems, the advice I would give would be to gain a diverse experiences. Do not fear changes in your career path, your responsibilities, or even your geographic location. It was a challenge for me, who is very East Coast oriented, to pick up and move across the continent, if you will, to Los Angeles. But after arriving here, I just fit in. All the anxieties and the mild fears were really waste of energy, because if you're knowledgeable, you've built the confidence with experience, you can really hit the ground running, if you will. So don't gain diverse experiences and don't fear the change. I also think everybody should be a perpetual student. Learn why the organizational structures and processes are in place at your current place of employment. Learn the lessons from them. Understand the strategies and synthesize your experiences into a personal point of view. I apply the experiences that I had at the University of Virginia and Penn State to my work every day here at USC. And when I was at Penn State, I applied all the lessons that I learned at Virginia to that institution. And so, I do think that young professionals or even mid-career professionals, if you haven't already consciously adopted the mind frame of being a perpetual student, I really recommend you do. And then, learn how to work with people as a team member. I think that has been an emerging trend in the professional workspace for quite some time now, that people are looking for team members, collaborators. And that is very true today. Success comes when you can work with colleagues, listen to them respectfully, try to understand their points of view. They're taking a position for a very good reason. And you may not agree with the position, but if you can try to understand the reason, then it makes you a good colleague to that individual that you may disagree with. And then finally, strive to bring value to that team. Your job is to join a group of people and collectively achieve success. And you may be the finance person or the IT person, whatever your area of specialty. Make sure you're that subject matter expert and make sure that you're bringing valuable insight into the strategies or discussions of the executive team, if you will. And again, those were lessons learned through experience. I had a great boss at the University of Virginia, who's at the University of Iowa now, Brad Hawes, who really demonstrated to me that there is great value in assembling a diverse team of people and letting them work well together. And those are great lessons learned. And I recommend that to anybody who aspires to, you know, advance their career in healthcare, academic medicine in particular, if you want to serve as an executive leader of these very large, complex organizations.
You've mentioned a number of things, and one of the pieces of advice I love, all of them really, but I love this concept of you better be good at what your core job is. In addition to everything else, you better be good at that. And then I'm going to ask you a couple of much harder questions, Eric, that you won't be prepared for, so bear with me for a second. So the first question is, you also mentioned the ability to take change, to willingness to be open to change. You move 2,700 miles for change. Did you feel as you moved 2,700 miles, moved to Southern California? Now, I'm a Midwesterner. You were at Penn State, which is almost Midwestern. Did you feel like you had this prerequisite to that, learn how to surf? And have you learned how to surf yet?
No, I have not learned how to surf. I'm still acclimating to the culture of Southern California. So when the temperature goes below 70 degrees, suddenly there's winter coats on the street. I smile and I can't understand it, but I'll tell you, the people here have been unexpectedly kind and welcoming, even strangers on the streets. There's this direct eye contact, smile, and a genuine expression of greeting and, you know, how are you? I'm out here right now alone. My family is still back east as we transition to the West Coast. So, you know, I could be very lonely here, but I don't feel it because the people that I've interacted with here in the office, as well as in my new neighborhood, have been extraordinarily friendly. But no surfing. I don't see that in my future, no.
You never know, and you have to keep an open mind towards it. Last question. USC versus Cal Berkeley, USC versus Notre Dame, USC versus Penn State. Have you yet developed a clarity as to who you cheer for in all those games?
Yeah, I am a huge college sports fan. And, you know, it's funny, as I move from one institution to another, I am expected to automatically, you know, shift allegiances and root for the team of my employer. So, yeah, no, Penn State, I think, clearly is the has the strongest attachment to its football program. And when I announced my resignation and said I was coming west, everybody was saying, see you at the Rose Bowl. And so I think they presumed that USC and Penn State would be playing. And that would be great. I would think that would be fantastic. But, yeah, I'm going to have to learn the Pac-12. And I certainly will be on the side of the USC Trojans.
It's fantastic. Eric, it is a great pleasure to visit with you. It really is a magnificent career. We love that you're USC. What a great system. And thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today.
Scott, my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.